From the KERA Newsroom, I'm Justin Martin. In a few minutes, the old ice cream plant that's being retooled to scoop up artists. We'll start with a little financial news. Texas is home to three of the bottom five big cities in terms of credit card debt. That's the headline of a new study out this week. On Tuesdays, KERA's One Crisis Away project looks at life for folks on the financial edge. As KERA's Courtney Collins reports, too much credit card debt is sometimes enough to push people over the edge.
The average North Texan owes $4,902 on credit cards. Of the 25 largest cities in America, Dallas-Fort Worth is second from the bottom. It would take that person 14 months and just under $400 in interest to pay off that debt. Matt Schultz with CreditCards.com says the rest of Texas isn't exactly in high cotton.
They say everything's bigger in Texas, and apparently that includes credit card debt burden.
San Antonio comes in dead last, and Houston's credit card debt is the fifth worst nationwide. At the top end of the list, San Francisco, Boston, and Washington, D.C. Schultz says this survey compared average credit card debt in a city to that city's median income. That's where Texas is struggling.
Folks in the biggest cities in Texas aren't earning quite as much as some of the other big cities around the country, so it makes it a little more challenging to pay off that credit card debt.
When you look at average credit card debt, there's only a $500 difference between the best city on the list and the worst. $4,400 in San Francisco, $4,900 in San Antonio.
There isn't that much difference in credit card debt from one big city to another. There's a much bigger range of difference in what people earn than what they owe.
Schultz says this survey doesn't take into account cost of living, so Texans with lower mortgages and cheaper rent payments might actually do better paying down debt than someone who lives in Washington, D.C. Still, chipping away at credit card debt is daunting. One thing folks can try to make it easier
is to call their bank and ask for a reduced interest rate. And I think people would be surprised at how often that works.
Schultz says asking for a lower interest rate works more than half the time. Worth a shot if you're watching your available credit disappear each month under a mountain of interest. Courtney Collins, KERA News.
Get a look at how Dallas-Fort Worth stacks up against the other big cities on the list at keranews.org. There's a neighborhood called the Cedars, just south of downtown Dallas, that's being remade as an arts destination. An old ice cream plant is being transformed into something like a private gym for artists with 24-hour access to fully equipped workspaces and micro studios. KERA's Jerome Weeks reports the idea is to create an arts incubator.
We're in the old Baedeker ice cream plant on Irve, just across I-30 from Dallas City Hall. Built in 1921, three stories tall, yellow brick and concrete, almost 40,000 square feet. This cavernous space on the first floor was the cold dock, the refrigerated loading dock for trucks to fill up with ice cream, dairy products.
And it's very raw. I mean, you can tell paint peeling. This is some of the old insulation that actually dates back to the 20s.
Ben Griffith is program manager for what's called the Cedars Union. This huge room will be used by artists working on larger scale projects, like building theater sets.
And on this side here, we're going to add an annex that will house our dirtier shops, our full woodworking, our full metalworking, and we hope to include glass and ceramics in that as well.
Communal workspaces, equipped with tools and machinery, open any time to dues-paying members, is hardly a new idea. In Carrollton, Dallas Makerspace provides classes and equipment for blacksmiths, welders, even engineers working in 3D design. But this is new to North Texas artists, on this scale, on the edge of downtown. And there's more.
Would you like to ride a creepy elevator?
Sure.
It's dangerous.
Oh, good.
The second floor of Cedars Union is currently full of small, shabby offices. These will be ripped out and replaced by some 70 micro studios for lease, each around 50 square feet. And then there's the third floor.
We do know this was their mixing room. So this was another cold area in the building, and it's not now. It's probably 114 degrees up here.
There'll be live workspaces here for artists and residents. Griffith says Cedars Union is meant to help emerging artists get from sketchy ideas to full-fledged production, to foster collaborations, even provide business guidance. The Bowden Family Foundation bought the building late last year, but Griffith says Ken Bowden first told him about creating what he calls an arts incubator 4 years ago.
So we talked about the idea, and I said, well, it's not going to work. He said, why not? I said, because you would have to give this resource to the creatives to do with what they want. It's how the creative process works. You can't dictate the process. They have to be a part of the process. And then 4 years later, I'm meeting Crow because that's exactly what he did.
Hundreds of local artists have been surveyed for what they really need. There are no galleries here, for instance. It's all about spaces and tools for working. Tuesday, dozens of local artists toured the building, including Janelle Castor, an actor-performer. Castor was interested in possible collaborations with visual artists and to check out the Cedars.
Myself and a lot of my friends are wondering what's next, where is next? And it seems like Cedars Union is one of the places that's next for art makers of all kind.
Three blocks down Herve Street from the Cedars Union is where the MAC, the McKinney Avenue Contemporary, will be moving with its mix of performance spaces and galleries. So the Cedars is becoming like West Dallas. Even as massive new developments transform the area, artists continue to filter in, hunting for the affordable, the usable, while they still can. Jerome Weeks, KERA News.
Cedars Union plans to open in early 2017. You can find images and architectural renderings at artandseek.org. When he signed the Americans with Disabilities Act into law 25 years ago, President George H.W. Bush knew Americans wouldn't be the only people who benefited.
Its passage has made the United States the international leader on this human rights issue.
Today on Think, Leonard Davis, the author of a new book about the ADA, told Chris Boyd there is one American institution that has yet to embrace that leadership role, Hollywood.
I use the example of pregnancy. You know, if someone's pregnant in the real world, it doesn't mean anything. They're pregnant. But suddenly, the only time you see pregnant women on TV is if it's part of the story. And the same thing is true with people with disabilities. The only time you see them is if it's part of the story. Whereas in real life, people are just there. 20% of the population is there. Their disability doesn't signify anything. It isn't part of a larger story. It doesn't have to be dressed up to say, and this is a story of how someone triumphed over their disability. The other part about that is that very few actors with disabilities are on the scene. Most years, the Academy Award is given to a film about someone with a disability, as it was this year with Stephen Hawking's movie. But the actor is always a person, or virtually always a person, who has no disability. There are so many talented actors out there with disabilities. Why not get them to play the roles? And that way, the more we saw people with disabilities on TV and in films, we would get more comfortable with the idea that it isn't an us-them thing. It's all part of human diversity.
Leonard Davis's book is called Enabling Acts, the hidden story of how the Americans with Disabilities Act gave the largest U.S. minority its rights. Think re-airs tonight at 9, or listen to the podcast at kera.org/think. This evening brings us mostly clear skies, low around 79. Tomorrow should be sunny with a high near 101. Tomorrow night, mostly clear with a low around 81. It's about 99 degrees across the listening area. You can follow KERA News on Twitter or like us on Facebook. From the KERA Newsroom, I'm Justin Martin.